Just want to quiet ourselves for a moment. Let's continue. Praise God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Father, thank you for that word and the encouragement that comes from hearing testimonies like that, God. And Father, we thank you, Lord, that we can come to your throne and you bid us to come and come boldly, humbly yet boldly. Hebrews 4:16, to obtain mercy and to find grace to help in a time of need. And as we continue tonight, Father, I just yield myself to you and pray that you would use me, Father, to bless this body and continue to feed us, Lord, to continue to give us those living waters of life. Praise you, God. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, we ask for the anointing. We ask that you hedge us in. Father, help us to focus and sharpen our focus and give us ears to hear, minds to receive and perceive what your Holy Spirit is saying to us individually, corporately. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Okay. So I'm going to give you an outline of where I believe I'm going tonight and let you read and as I go along. But as I give you these scriptures, don't get lost in them in the sense of going off on your own, okay? So here's the scriptures I believe I'm going to use in the orchestration and in a correlation of what's in my heart that I believe is from God. First of all, we're going to start with 1 Peter chapter 5. And there, we are exhorted to humble ourselves under the mighty hand of God and to resist the enemy, verses 4 through 8, because the, and I'm just going to quote parts of it, because the devil roams as a roaring lion, L-I-O-N, seeking whom he may devour. Okay, seeking whom he may devour. And then the next passage is in Matthew 16:18. And there you have the story of Jesus talking to Peter with his disciples. And he asks the question, I believe in verse 14 he starts, and asks the question, who do men say that I am? Peter answers, he directs his question to Peter. Peter answers that thou art the Christ. He blesses him for it, reveals that only the Father could have given him that revelation. And he goes on to say that Peter is a small piece of the rock, and upon the rock, speaking of himself, he's going to build his church. And this promise is given in Matthew 16:18, that the gates of hell or gates of Hades shall not prevail against the church. Okay. Then the next passage that we're going to touch on tonight that we'll go into this is in Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2, 3 and 4, where there is the exhortation from Paul to make a decision to, and it's generally taught that there's a one-time decision that we make in our lives and a daily decision to offer ourselves as living sacrifices, which is our reasonable service, and to serve the Lord Almighty God. Then with these, I'm just going to touch base briefly into Joshua. And having given you those scriptures, I'll stop there, okay? Now, tonight's message, the seed thoughts, came from a message that I picked up from my, what I call my anointed radio at home in the barn. And anointed in this way, and this is the truth before God. I think it only comes on when God wants me to hear from him, okay? Because I fuss with it, and I try to get the stations on, and it's old, wore out, and broke, and it just doesn't want to work and cooperate with me. But every once in a while, it comes on. It seems like it comes on when there's a message on there just for me. And this happened Sunday night. I was doing chores, and I caught a brief message from that come out of Moody Bible Institute. I'd never heard the series or the broadcast radio station itself before. Their program, Pastor Luther was on there. He was teaching from a series, in case there's someone here who's listening to it, teaching from a series that he entitled The Splitter. It's a five-part series. And I was listening to it, and I've been meditating on it all week. And much of it is what I'm going to present tonight. It comes from that, from the seed thoughts from that. So, but the correlation of scriptures I give you did not come, but you don't know that. So why did I share that? But anyways, so he was sharing. He was sharing about things that God puts his men through and women. And he gave the illustration of an individual that was strong in the Lord and in their testimony, but man, they were being put through hell. And he gave a whole, starting at point A several years back, a whole progression of increased intensity of snowballed, what we would call in our language here in this ministry, momentum test, in terms of what the individual is going through. And the individual was approached, and his testimony was that he was fellowshipping with the fourth man in the fire, and that he was enjoying the fellowship, the communion, and that he was learning things that without those tests he would have never learned about God. And his relationship with God had increased. And as he was sharing that, I was just thinking, wow, sure does sound familiar. But it's an amazing testimony. Then he got into another aspect of what he was presenting, and that's where I want to go now. And he referenced 1 Peter 5 with the roaring lion. No, I didn't. Here's another one that goes with us for you note takers. Ephesians chapter 6 with the full armor of God and the exhortation to be, verse 10, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. And in fact, I'll start there with this. Ephesians 6:10 says that we're to be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. And then it goes on to list four different categories of demon powers and levels of hierarchy in the demonic realm and makeup, if you will, of their military alignment. And it goes on to say that we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against these powers, principalities, spiritual rulers of wickedness in high places. And then it goes on to say that we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against these powers, principalities. And it talks about the methodia, the wiles of the devil. Okay, in the English it says, it uses the word wiles. And it's from the Greek word methodia, which speaks of the methods of Satan. Methods, strategy that he uses against the believers. And we're not to be, Paul mentions this a couple times in the New Testament, that we're not to be ignorant of his devices and the way that he operates. And so I'm going to look at one of his methodias tonight, one of the wiles of the enemy that we want to be careful of. And Dr. Luther titled his observation in the correlation with this. He called this method the method of the splitter, the method of splitting, okay, and the splitter, splitter. And what he had drawn an observation from watching an animal program like the National Geographic. And on that program, they were looking at Africa and the plains of Africa, where the animals run free and grow wild. And they showed this scene where there was a herd of water buffalo. And the herd of water buffalo was being pursued by lions, L-I-O-N-S. And it was a pride of lions, included males and females. And what they would do is, or what they were doing at this point is one of the animals had gotten separated from the herd, one of the water buffalo. And it wasn't a weak animal. It was strong, full-grown, mature male, if I'm not mistaken. But he had gotten separated from the herd. And so the pride went into action on this one that had gotten separated from the herd. And you see this with other predator animals, especially those that work in packs. Wolves do it. I'm sure you've seen it talked about how they will attack weak elks in national parks, and coyotes do it. Sometimes we're awakened at nighttime with the coyote prides going after critters in the middle of the night. They operate at nighttime, and they operate in packs when they're doing their hunting. Lion prides are the same way. And this is what they did. The first thing that took place is because this animal, and here's the key point, this animal was separated from the herd. And so the first thing they did, two of the male lions, each one grabbed hold of a rear foot or leg and held on for dear life. If you can picture two lions attacking a water buffalo. Now, water buffalo are fairly formidable in terms of their ability to defend themselves. But again, this one was by himself. And somehow he had gotten split from the herd. And so two of them grabbed onto their legs and held on for dear life, and he started fighting them and trying to run. And as they watched and filmed, he began to get slower and weaker as they just held on. And when he started to slow down and weaken, then another couple jumped him. One grabbed all fours under the belly and began to chew at the belly portion of and get into the entrails. The one on top began to dig into his spine. And then one come from around front, full-grown lion, and attacked him right up front. Well, he learned real quick that you don't attack a water buffalo right head-on, okay? And that lion went flying through the air after being impaled by the horns. And the commentary says that the next day that lion was found dead on the scene. So, but the others attacked and come in from the side and the rear, and eventually he went down, and it was his demise. And the pride prevailed, and they had him for lunch. Okay? The major reason that they were able to consume him was because he had become split from the group. The herd. If you will, appropriate it in terms of the body of Christ. He had somehow allowed himself to be separated from and alienated from the body. And if we allow for the splitter to split us from the body, that's exactly what the devil will do to us. Because the devil roams about roaring as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. And one of the points that was brought out was the herd did something that the herd shouldn't do. Now, as I go along, I want to draw a correlation between the herd and us as the body of Christ. This individual was being attacked and consumed by the pride, the herd just stood there and watched. Okay? But generally speaking, and what they should have done is turn on the pride. Because the fact of the matter is, and this is the observation and its truth, that pride would have no chance against the herd of water buffalo as a herd. In Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2, it talks about us offering ourselves as living sacrifices, which is our reasonable service. And generally, in its consideration and presentation and the way it's taught, it's a one-time decision. It's also a decision that we make on a daily basis as we're walking in discipleship. And it's generally taught to, in most contexts, is presented to the individual. But when you study it and study Paul's writing, and it comes out very clearly in the King James English, it's speaking in plurality. Paul says, if you look at it and study the words, it's repeated there. The theme is repeated. Let us, therefore, notice the word us. He addresses us as the brethren, plural. He says, let us, plural, offer ourselves, plural, as living sacrifices, plural. My point is this, as the body of Christ, we offer ourselves as living sacrifices, which is our reasonable service. And as the body of Christ, the enemy cannot stand. And I emphasize this, and I'll correlate it with Matthew chapter 16, 18, where Jesus gave the promise to Peter. He says, Peter, you are Petros. I get Petro and Petrus mixed up. But he says, Peter, you are Petros, and upon this Petra, I shall build my church. That's the Greek. And the idea there is that Peter is a piece of the rock, Jesus being the rock and the church being the rock of Christ, because we are Jesus Christ as the living body in this world, individually and corporately. But together, we operate as a living body. And you find this in what I, if you read on, in Romans 12, going back to Romans 12, 1 and 2, and in the following verses, it talks about the different operation of the gifts of the body and as they function together. And the and back to Matthew 16, Jesus says, against the body of Christ, the gates of hell shall not prevail. Okay. That's the promise that God gave. That's the promise that Jesus stated. That's a prophetic utterance that Jesus gave in the proclamation that we are to take to heart, that against the body of Christ, the gates of hell shall not prevail. Now, there's going to be times when we come up against formidable forces when we in ourselves are not enough. And we will need the body. Back to the full armor of God in Ephesians 6:10, it talks about the shield of faith, and I've brought out many times that that the Roman soldier's shield of faith that's used as the illustration there was not only big enough for the Roman soldier himself to hold his ground, but it was big enough to bring in a brother and shelter him as well as if he was wounded and down. And we have that responsibility one to another. Okay? And there's going to be times when we are attacked by the enemy, and the attack is so strong that we may become weakened, and God forbid that it would be because we have made a decision to step apart from the body. I spoke on this afternoon. God's not into the Lone Ranger business, because as a Lone Ranger, we don't make it. That's why in Hebrews 4 or James 4, 6 and back to 1 Peter 5, we are to humble ourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt us in due time. And the key there is to walk humbly before God. The key there is to walk humbly. We need to be submitted to God's order. We need to be submitted to God's covering. We need to be submitted to the pulpit ministry and the office of the pastor teacher and the covering that's provided in that. And we need to come in so that we can step aside from sublimation and present ourselves to receive objective truth from the pulpit when the Holy Spirit's moving to receive truth and love and maybe correction that will equip us to step free from the wiles, the snare of the enemy. And in the definition of the wiles of Methodi in the Greek, It's defined somewhat in this way. Part of the definition is that it is a snare, like a bird snare, that will have its effect. And the devil knows that if he puts out his snare, his strategy, and we take the bait or step into the noose, that it's going to have the effect and the outcome that he wants it to have. And what does he want to do to us? Jesus said in John 10:10, I have come to give you life and life more abundantly. What has Jesus come to give us? Life and more abundantly. But the thief has come, the devil has come to do what? To rob, steal, kill, and destroy. To rob, to steal, and listen to me, to kill and destroy. He's not playing a game. But we need not fear it, because we have the giver of everlasting life, Jesus Christ. But the devil's looking to do what he can to come against us. And he wants to kill us. If he can do it, he wants to literally kill us if he can do it. And that's why, it's so important for us to be in prayer. And constantly in prayer. Luke 18:1, man, always to pray and not faint. 1 Thessalonians 5:24, 27, to pray without ceasing. Put on the full armor of God, Ephesians 6. Pray and with supplication and thanksgiving, and to pray and to pray and to pray and to pray and to pray, and don't stop praying. Pray when you wake up at night. You can't sleep. Pray. When you're awake in the morning, it's time to get up and you can't. Pray. As you're going through the day, pray. Pray with each other. Promises where two or more are gathered and agree in accordance with the Father's will. There's power in prayer in numbers. Pray. Why? So we come against the wiles of the enemy and do what, as we heard in the devotional tonight that fits with this, prevail. The effectual, fervent, energetic prayer of a righteous man does what? Availeth much. That's right. Praise God. Hallelujah. Now you can say I'm getting worked up in my emotions. No, I'm getting worked up in who I am in Christ. Okay? We have a sister and a brother that's fighting cancer. Let's pray. Believe God and come against this in the name of Jesus. Because it's a disruption of the cells and it's right from hell. And God wants to heal us. And it is the nature of God to heal. And there's a whole list of, I won't start down that road, okay, trying to balance things. I love what Pastor Janice Jr. said about Pastor Shabelli stated in one of his messages. You want me to balance it? You balance it, okay? I believe in a God who's a God the same yesterday, today, and forever. Amen. And he's the God of miracles. He's the God that hears my prayers. And if he isn't answering my prayer, it's because he's got a perfect plan that's for me, and I will trust him. But in the meantime, I'm not going to fall into the condition in the class of those that don't have because they haven't asked. Okay, we're to ask until God tells us no. Paul asked 3 times for his thorn in the flesh to be removed from him. And finally, God told him, no, my grace is sufficient for you. Well, until you've heard God say, my grace is sufficient for you, don't you give up and doubt and not ask. Believe God and ask God to help you and to strengthen you in faith to believe and access the throne of grace, to receive grace and the mercy that we need to prevail and to receive life and to overcome the enemy. And back to 1 Peter 5, the Word of God says that if we humble ourselves under the mighty hand of God, he will exalt us in due time. Resist the devil, and the devil will do what?
Flee.
Praise God. Hallelujah. Pride of demons out there have no place or ability to overcome the church, because the promise to the church is that the gates of hell shall not overcome or come against the church and prevail. Shall not prevail. Do you believe that tonight?
Amen.
Okay. Now back to the splitter messages for a moment. Okay. I'm going to give you a psalm. And you may need to check, fact check me on this, okay? Like our president, okay? Psalm 116, 165. Mark, let me know if I've got that right or not, okay? 119, 165. It goes like this. 119, 165. Somebody shout if I'm wrong or right, please, okay, when I got it. Great peace have they that love my law, and nothing shall offend them. Okay? Great peace have they that love my law, and nothing shall offend them. You need to make Jesus Christ and his word your all in all, so that as you mature and the enemy subtly goes to work and brings offenses, and offenses will come, but God have mercy on through whom, them whom the offense comes. But offenses will come, and the purpose of offenses is to alienate you and separate you or split you from the body of Christ. Okay. And how are you going to deal with an offense that will come that can hurt and pierce deeply? By allowing Jesus Christ to be your all in all. And having an attitude in the spirit of a true testimony and confession of, you'll be able to say, whatever it is, whoever it is, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Because our battle is not against them, but against the devil and the demons that are behind them. And what they're up for is they want to come against you, and they want to kill you. And I would bid you to memorize and meditate on Romans chapter 8 and the five classifications of who, where it says, if God be for us, who shall be against us? Five different classes of definition of the word who there that speaks of the enemy that comes against us, and it can include ourselves. All right. Don't let the enemy separate you from the body of Christ. Because just like the wolves separate the elks or the weak elks and the calves, and generally what happens with the herds, they primarily will protect the young. They'll act as a herd primarily when it comes to the young. But in our case, young and old alike. All right? And the weak and the feeble, we're exhorted to watch out for them. And we're to take our, am I my brother's keeper? Yes, I am. And in love, I'm to go and to help them. But don't let offenses overtake you. Don't let an offense split you from the body. And don't ever let yourself think that you can go out there on your own and make it by yourself. It's not how God operates. You look at Paul's teaching, and they sent out, okay, this is another sermon by itself, but Jesus sent out the disciples two by two to begin with, and then it migrated and expanded into teams, and Paul and Barnabas were set apart as a team, and on it goes. Teams were sent out in Acts. And all through Paul's writings and the epistles and Peter as well, they are writing to the church, okay, not to individuals. Yes, to individuals in the sense of individuals within what? The church, okay, that were shared letters to the church, okay. There may be the sovereignty of God where God raises up an individual and sends them into the field for a season to plant and open the way like a pioneer, but generally speaking, we as a ministry, our policy basically in its practice is teams and teamwork. Why? So that you get out on a team and something happens and all hell breaks loose, you got a platoon that's ready to come to your aid and help you. And by the way, Pastor Palmer used to say, buy a two-way ticket, okay? Because you don't know what's going to happen out there. You may need to come home, all right? So make that provision as a safety net. And if that happens, God forbid, but if it happens, it's warfare. People get wounded and they need to go home. Go down to Baltimore. Baltimore's full of missionaries that come home to get refreshed, built up, healed, and prepared to go back out. How? Through plugging themselves in and into the hospital ward of the body of Christ, the church. Okay. How I got on that, I don't know. But anyways, trust God for it. Okay. I'm going to close. Well, I said I'd touch on Joshua. Okay, Joshua fits here. Let's put him there out. Make sure you're on the right road under the vision lined up with what God is doing in the church. Okay. Go back and study Joshua. Joshua's on the road of conquest. He's going out, and he comes across the captain of the Lord of Hosts, who is believed a pre-incarnate Lord Jesus Christ. Why? Because he says, take off your shoes. You're walking on holy ground in his presence. Joshua sees the captain of the Lord of Hosts. He's doing his thing, okay? That's all I'll say. And he says, who are you? Imagine that saying to Jesus Christ. Who are you? And the captain of the Lord of Hosts says back to him, basically, who are you? And whose side are you on? And I didn't exactly quote it correctly. Study it, but you'll see the point. The captain of the Lord of Hosts was saying, Joshua, are you on my side? Are you fighting with me against what I'm fighting? Or are you fighting your own thing? Your own perceived battle in your own way. Line up with what God is doing. We don't want to be going on our own. We want to be in tune. The word says that we are to test and prove what is the good and perfect and will of God for our lives. And sometimes that takes some time. It takes some testing and proving to just make sure that we're walking with Jesus, yoked with him, not trying to carry the burden on our own. And if you're facing a mountain where you need the help of the body of Christ, let your need be known. And if you see a brother or sister that's carrying that kind of burden, go to them and offer your availability. Because that's Jesus offering the yoke with them to help them to get through that battle that they're in. That's what I love about Pastor Moore. I could break right now. That man has loved me with the love of Christ and carried me and helped me all through my life. He's been a true friend and a pastor. And the love of Christ coming through him has made the difference for me in my life. Other brothers and sisters in the body as well. And without them, I wouldn't be standing here if I was out there by myself. Okay? And God has ordered that's the way he operates, through the body, the church. And it's the love of Christ that doesn't fail. It's the love of Christ that carries us. Carmen, I'm believing God for healing for you, and I know many in the body are. I'm believing God for Rob Tompkins to be healed. Rob's come up and asked, I'm sure he wouldn't mind, I hope he doesn't get offended by this, but he wants to be healed of the cancer that he's fighting. There's others in the body that are close to us, and I'm thinking of one individual in particular. I don't want to uncover them, but they're caught in bondage, and they want to be set free. And God showed me it plainly in their voice and the way that come out from their spirit. They want to be set free from the bondage of the strongholds of the enemy. And it takes the body of Christ to break through that. Takes the body of Christ to believe and grow in faith and grow in the knowledge of his word that produces faith, that accesses the nature of God, that sets free the power of God to do miracles and to provide and to heal. And whether he does it through the medical profession or does it totally miraculously, it doesn't matter. Either one are miracles. But we've got to stand in the gap and pray for each other. We've got to stand in the gap and believe God for each other. We got to stand in the gap and resist the enemy as we humble ourselves under the mighty hand of God. And thank God that's who we serve tonight, is the mighty, almighty God, the creator of all creation. I believe what I'm saying. And I believe it because I know him who has saved me. I can tell you tonight that I'm one of those that's in a snowball effect of all hell breaking loose in every front. I can name 8 of them right now, major fronts all at once that have come against my life. And I'm not boasting. I'm saying it to encourage you in the faith and in who you are in Christ. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Why? Because we serve the living God, Jesus Christ. And I can go back in my personal experience and testimony, I think probably every one of us could if we stop and really think about it. There was a time for me when Jesus appeared in such a way that the reality of it was that I have no excuse to ever want to jump ship, no matter what come against me. Why? Because we serve him who is real, and I therefore stand as the psalmist wrote, and I proclaim it because I believe, because I know him. As Job says, I know my Redeemer lives. And we're not playing a game here tonight. As the word of God comes forth and we read the living word of God and are exposed and grow in the knowledge of it, this is God's handbook for the warfare that we're engaged in. We're military warriors, and he's anointed us to prevail and to win. Sometimes he may choose, there's that balance again. He may choose that we're counted as sheep for the slaughter, but it's far and few between. And until God tells us no, we'll keep believing God and asking him in prayer. So I'm going to shut down so we can again pray corporately as a body and go to God with our needs. And understand that as we pray, God is listening. He is bending low with his ear. He knows what we're going through. And he's got a plan and a provision and a timing and a way that's going to deliver us, bless us, glorify him, and draw others to Christ as they watch what's going on and as his plan unfolds. Praise God. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Praise the Lord. Glory be to God. Let's stand and pray. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Father, we pray and thank you this night for your love for us, this word as it's coming forth. And Father, we do stand as a church looking to you, not in our own strength, but looking to you, Father God, to give us the faith and the strength and the grace to come to your throne of grace humbly yet boldly, to obtain mercy and to receive the grace that we need to help in times of need and in needs that are here tonight. And in Jesus' name we pray, Father, we'll continue in prayer as our pastor comes forth and leads us. But Father, we pray, and you know the unspoken requests and the burdens of the heart, the battles that are being fought, and we know that you have the answers, the strategy, the grace for victory. And we thank you for it right now in Jesus' name. Because you are God and you are love, and love never fails. Amen, amen. And amen.